Hey, babe, you're gonna be a dad.
And you're gonna be a mom.
What?
Hi, guys. I'm Angela Lanter.
And I'm Matt Lanter.
So my husband, Matt, you might recognize him from your TV screen. He's an actor.
Yeah, and my smoking hot wife sitting next to me, you might recognize her off your computer screen. She's a blogger.
Come along and experience this journey with us as we prepare to have our first kid.
Yeah, to the dudes out there, this is scary stuff. Unprecedented territory. I need your support.
And the moms. I mean, there's so much going on with our bodies and we're experiencing so many crazy things. So I'm going to tell you like it is.
That's true. Well, we originally didn't even intend to release this podcast. We just wanted to look back at it and have it as sort of like an audio yearbook. But the more we thought about it, we thought, why not share this with the world?
Hopefully y'all can learn with us.
Laugh with us.
Or maybe reminisce about your own pregnancy. Either way, sit back, relax, and join us on Hello Bump.
Rolling on week 30, episode 24 of Hello Bump. Welcome back, everybody. I'm your co-host, Matt Lanter.
And I'm Angela Lanter.
That's my wife. I'm the husband. We did the hibbity-dibbity. We got a baby in her tummy, and we talk about it. That's Hello Bump in an eggshell.
In a nutshell,
babe. In a nutshell. All right. Well, let's chat. Here we go. Okay, guys. Hey, thanks for joining us. We're back with lots of really interesting stories.
Just totally fascinating.
Fascinating stories.
Like earth-shattering.
It was so different than the week before. Not really, but kind of.
We're just cruising through the third trimester.
We are cruising through this third trimester like it ain't nothing.
Everyone says that this is the hardest one. Knock on wood. It's been pretty easy for me so far, but we're really in the beginning stages of it. We really are.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm not going to speak too soon.
Right. Okay. Well, we've got some fun stuff, for this, episode. Hey, let's start with the real fun. Hand, foot, mouth disease. All right. Well, here's the story behind that.
Yeah. Why are you talking about that?
I read some kind of like.
Was it because I saw in our on next door that some kid at our playground has
had hand, foot, mouth disease?
Is that why you looked it up?
Yeah. Absolutely. it was on our next door app. We have this app that kind of like our neighborhood belongs to, and like we're a part of that, so we can see what's going on around us. And I guess some parents were talking about. They took their kid to the local park and they saw some kid with hand, foot, mouth disease. I don't even know what that means.
You've never heard of that before?
I think I've heard of it, but what the heck is that?
It's like a really contagious, horribly contagious rash.
They did say it was contagious.
Yeah, it's very contagious.
So, I mean, what the F is it?
It's like it's a bacterial infection that manifests itself in the form of a rash, I believe.
Okay. Why is it hand, foot, mouth? It just shows up on your hand, your foot, and your mouth?
I believe so. I believe those are the places that you see it.
Man.
I've never had it before, and I don't think I know anybody who's had it before, actually, but it's always one of those things floating around on Facebook that you see your friends who have kids in school talking about, and it's kind of like lice. Like, you see people talk about it, and they're freaked out by it.
It sounds awful.
Yeah, well, most kid diseases are.
I mean, most diseases, period.
Yeah.
Or not a walk in the park.
Well, that's accurate.
Okay. Well, let's see. Okay, because I have all these like little notes written down. That's why I started with the hand, foot, and mouth, because I thought that was a real nice segue just into the week. You know, a real nice way to ease into the week.
Is that what that is, an ease? Because to me, that sounds like a punch in the face.
Well, that was sarcasm, Angela. Okay. Hey, we picked up a crib this week.
We did.
We got a crib.
Got our crib.
We ended up doing a restoration crib.
Mm-hmm. We got the whole set.
Got the whole set and got it set up. We don't have the mattress or anything like that
yet.
No,
not yet. We didn't do that yet.
But
we were holding out on that because it's on my registry.
Oh, is it the mattress?
Mm-hmm.
What a weird thing to buy someone, a mattress.
What's different about buying that or a snot sucker?
Well.
Touché.
Yeah, or a baby gas passer.
Or a diaper pail.
You know that thing? Remember
the
that
Windy?
Thing? The Windy. We watched a YouTube video on it. I felt really creepy doing that.
We have the Windy.
I wanted to see what it was. I think you literally...
Frida Baby, the company that makes the no-sucker and the Windy, they sent us a care package and the Windy is in it.
You stick like a tube up the baby's butt, right?
I thought I showed you that the other night, the care package. Did you miss the Windy? It's in there.
I didn't see it.
It's in there.
But we watched the YouTube video, right? I just can't remember what happened.
They put it in there and it releases the gas in the baby's belly.
It's a tube? They like open the like little, little baby's butt?
A little tubey tube.
It's a tubey tube. Why was that a double word and why did it have a Y on it?
Because we're talking about babies.
So here's the thing with Angela. Anything that like has to do with our dog or a baby typically ends in a Y.
Why do you say it about me? You do the same thing.
Like if our dog wants a drink of water, she'd be like, she wants a drinky.
You do the same thing. You ask her all the time if she wants treaties.
I do ask her about treaties. I think I got it from you though.
Why do I get blamed for every bad habit that you have?
Because you're responsible for every bad habit.
Oh my gosh.
I was perfect before you.
Some of the weird stuff you say to our dog definitely did not come from me.
Most of it.
Koch.
Koch is a word that I've been saying to the dog lately.
And it gets on my nerves so bad.
Yeah, and it's a short form of Kochi. And I believe you would spell it like Kotchi maybe. And I was looking for, she's in here somewhere.
She's sleeping next to me in her bed.
And it's just one of those, one of those
words. She's chewing her paws.
Of course. It's one of those words that gets caught in my mouth a lot. I just got to say it a lot. Like Koch.
But why? Where did it come from?
I think it came, sometimes I call her a little Tamagotchi. I think it just comes from that word. Guys, we literally, I'm not joking, probably have about 50 names for our dog.
We counted them one time. It was over 30.
Oh, and we stopped counting.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's like the time I sat down and counted how many girls you made out with on 90210.
Yeah. Stopped counting, you know. It was like 50. And it was like, it's a lot of girls.
It's really disgusting. Made me never want to touch you again.
Really?
A little bit.
I got to tell you, though, when you're doing kissing scenes, you know, it's not romantic. It's not even...
It doesn't matter. Those are like that many mouths are on you.
It's not even like... sexual, because you're kissing someone in front of about, I mean, legitimately, you know, probably 40 people are watching.
Mm-hmm.
People are hanging boom poles over your head, like when you're doing bed scenes, and it's very different than what you might assume.
I know you're telling that to the audience, to the people listening, because I already know that, but it doesn't take away from the fact that like. Within a certain period of time that I had been with you, you had to kiss that many women.
I think one day on 90210, I think it was season 5, I had to kiss like 3 girls in one day.
Yeah.
And the poor girls, I think I was sick that day.
Oh, that's gross. See, that's gross.
It is gross.
It's gross.
It is.
I don't even kiss you when you're sick.
I got a cold, I think. I'm just saying, it's not as great as it seems. I mean, you know, this is all before you, babe.
I met you before you went on to 90210.
Right.
So
season 5 was definitely.
I lived here. We were engaged.
Shoot.
In season 5.
Shoot. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's talk babies. Okay, no, but for real, we got the crib going. We got the dresser in there,
which is also a changing table.
And it doubles as a changing table. We ended up going with a very wide dresser, which we kind of just decided to spend the extra money and thought, you know what? Maybe she can use it in the future.
But it fits the space nicely.
It does fit the space better. But the nursery is really, like, other than that, we don't have a whole lot in there. And you keep going back and forth and back and forth about what you want in the stinking nursery. Part of it is, does she want, she doesn't know what, she wants to do an accent wall behind the crib. And she's not sure if she wants buffalo check, floral print wallpaper, or just like big stripes. So, you know, big decisions. Hopefully she'll come to something though. Right, babe? Yeah, hopefully.
There's something about pregnancy that has made me so indecisive.
Do you have pregnancy brain?
I don't feel like I really do. Do you feel like I'm like forgetful or a little bit ditzy or ditzier than normal?
I really don't think so. Is that a real thing, by the way? Pregnancy brain?
Everyone claims that it is. I don't feel like this is pregnancy brain. I feel like this is a decision-making inability. Does that make sense? Like, I just can't, I'm not capable of making decisions right now.
But I actually don't think that's got anything to do with pregnancy. You're kind of like that a lot with the home decor. We've already said that.
But. Yeah, but I feel like it's gotten so much worse. Like, we were at Macy's the other day and I bought a outfit to bring her home in. And then between me buying
it. Is that the one? That's the one?
Between me buying it and driving home, which was like, how long? Not long. By the time I got home, I thought, why did I buy this? This is not at all what I want to bring her home in. But, it, you know, 20 minutes earlier, I wanted it enough to buy it. So that's what I'm talking about. Like, I'll make these decisions and then immediately after, I'm like...
Regret them.
Yeah, like, I'm like, what was I thinking? So, I mean, are you going to tattle on me about the wallpaper that I had a breakdown?
Did you have a breakdown?
And a meltdown.
You cried a little bit.
That was the first time I've really cried since being pregnant that I can recall. Can you? Other than when I had the cyst and I was in so much pain.
Oh, that's a different story. You've done pretty good.
I have not cried. But the other morning, I'm sitting at the kitchen counter with you. We're having coffee. And I just got overwhelmed because I'm looking at pictures of Buffalo Check, which it's if you don't know what Buffalo Check is, it's that really distinct... like large print plaid, and I was looking at a pink and white or a very beautiful florally like watercolor. Mm-hmm. I'm talking wallpaper here, or a pink and white stripe. And I'm sitting at the kitchen counter having coffee with my husband, and I started crying over wallpaper. I could not keep it together. I just sat there and I just cried. And you didn't even realize that I was crying until later when I told you. And I'm sitting right next to you crying.
Maybe I was doing something, you know?
You're just emotionally detached from me.
No.
That's the bottom line.
No, I think I was having coffee. I probably couldn't even see yet. My vision was probably still blurry. It was early morning. Okay, well, listen, I thought this was funny. So I actually went and was thinking, you know, women get pretty emotional during pregnancy. So I Googled this and it actually came up and it's a little article here about 16 funny reasons why women cried. These are all true stories. I want to read these to you guys because they're pretty funny.
Oh, jeez.
Okay.
And this is on what app?
Well, it actually came from the Bump app, but I just saw it on the internet actually.
Okay.
So the wife was craving Chef Boyardee ravioli. I was cooking on the stove. Glance over and it's at a hard boil. So I grab it. I pull it off the heat and start vigorously stirring so nothing burns at the bottom, right? That makes sense. Wife walks in and says, "You're stirring it too fast. They're going to break apart." She left the room bawling. Okay. Some girl cried because she's watching Property Brothers and they did the reveal. That's the whole story. Not sure why that warrants a cry. But my sister loves Property Brothers, by the way.
I mean, like, there's times where we'll watch Fixer Upper and I'll get teary-eyed, pregnancy or not. Because if the people get really emotional and excited.
True. Okay. All right. Yeah, I'll give that to you. Oh, here's one. The wife wanted McDonald's pickles, right? Not Burger King pickles. Not like Vlasic from the grocery. McDonald's pickles. It had to be. So the husband goes to McDonald's and says, "Can I get some pickles?" They say, "No, we don't sell them." He said, "Fine, can I have 100 burgers, add extra pickles, hold everything." And she went and got the manager. The manager came back and gave him a tub of unopened pickles and says, "Congratulations, it's on the house."
That's sweet.
Good job, McDonald's.
And that made the wife cry?
I think she was just crying because she wanted the pickles so badly.
Oh.
It actually doesn't specify.
Okay.
Oh, I cried yesterday when I was looking up calorie counts for Chick-fil-A. I mean, that makes sense.
Does make sense.
Whether you're pregnant or not.
It makes me scared to look up the calorie counts.
Yeah, right.
Because you know how much I've loved Chick-fil-A.
This girl ran over a snake in the road and she ugly cried for 2 hours thinking about the snake waiting. Thinking about his snake family waiting for him to come home and him never showing up.
I mean, that's sad. I've hit animals before and cried.
It's a snake.
Yeah, they're really sneaky.
She says, "My husband was just like, what?" Which made the snot bubbles intensify. Oh, man. Oh, gosh. Rescuers Down Under came on the Disney Channel. I started watching it and crying. My husband walked in the room and I wail, "I love you so much." He backed out of the room slowly and shut the door. Oh, man.
See, I've not had any of these moments. You've had it very easy.
I have. I honestly have. My boyfriend wanted to make the macaroni and cheese. I accused him of thinking I was incompetent and stupid, too stupid to make it myself. I threw a fork at him and went upstairs and cried. Shonda Rhimes did it again is the story of this one. I cried today because I decided I was tough enough to watch Grey's Anatomy. Boy, was I wrong. But people cry during Grey's Anatomy a lot.
I think that that's really common, isn't it?
I think so.
I don't watch it.
Oh, man. Let's see. What is this one? She was so short, she couldn't reach something on the fridge, so she cried.
I mean, that makes sense to me, too, if I'm home alone. There's nothing worse than not being able to reach something or open something and being home alone.
I cried because the Fiesta Lime Chicken wasn't on the 2-for-20 menu at Applebee's. The server was a saint and made it work. Oh my gosh. Okay, I get this. It's titled Who Ate the Last One? When I was pregnant with my daughter, I really wanted a banana. I went to grab one, but someone had eaten the last one and not said anything. It made me cry. And then I cried because I was crying over a banana. But I sort of get it. That's like having no milk to pour in your cereal, you know?
Let me just say this. There's no heartache like when you are looking forward to eating something.
Sure.
And you go there and it's not there. And that happens to me a lot.
No.
You always, always cash out what it is that I'm looking forward to eating.
That's not true.
If you lie, you'll steal.
Okay. What are you talking about? What have I cashed out that you...
There's a lot of things. Oreos.
Oh, no, I always say the last one for you. Okay.
No, you don't.
This woman cried because she sneezed and it took all the energy she had. Oh, man. I was watching Shark Tank and started crying because people didn't get the deal. This is my favorite one, hands down. The title's called Jealous of Your Sandwich Making Skills. I hid my tears last night because my husband went on and on about how fantastic the sandwich our 6-year-old made him was. He never enjoys my sandwiches that much. She even used provolone cheese, which he hates. She was jealous of her 6-year-old daughter that made dad a sandwich.
That's bad.
Oh, man. That is good stuff. You've not really had any of those moments, though.
I've not had any of those moments. I've not cried at all.
You know what? I feel like in general, though, you're not as emotional of a person as a lot of girls we know.
I'm a little bit mannish in my emotions.
No, you're not mannish. You're just a little bit. I just feel like we know several girls, you know, friends and family and just people that we obviously are reading about like right now that are a lot more emotional than you are, I think, typically. On a normal day.
Yeah, I'm not a highly emotional person.
I guess not. But I feel like your heart is soft.
You're lucky in that way.
Like, I don't think you're completely cold-hearted.
Thank you for that. Oh my gosh. I'm not. No, I have a very soft heart for everybody and for situations and circumstances and whatnot, but for when it comes to myself, like, I'm not the type of person who, if something goes the wrong way, I'm going to pitch a fit.
Right. That's true. Okay. I'm reading a note here on your notes.
Yeah.
And it says, I'm short-wired. Matt is getting on my nerves.
Oh, did I write that?
Okay. I didn't know that this was happening. I didn't know that you were writing this down to talk about this.
Did I? I wrote that.
What are you talking about?
I think just the little things that you do this past week. I don't even have examples, but like just little things just have been, they get on my nerves.
Can
but
you
I don't
come
even
come up with one.
But I don't even say anything to you because I know that it's like hormonal and it's like I need to let it go. But that's why I wrote it down, is because it's my hormones that I'm short wired. Like just anything.
Do we need therapy?
I don't think so. It's just anything, like the way that you answer me. Like if I feel like you're being sassy with me, it makes me mad. Like anything, you know, like, or when I'm talking to you and you won't even like break eye contact with your phone or acknowledge that I'm talking to you. You just totally ignore me. That makes me really upset.
Because it's like this.
Hey, babe.
Shut up. I do not talk like that. You're so full of it.
Okay. Well,
I do not. I don't talk like
if
that.
If I'm getting on your nerves, say something. You know, I get on my own nerves quite a bit, honestly.
No, because I know that it's hormonal, so that's why I'm not addressing it, is because it's like, I know that more than likely it's not valid.
Okay. You know what, though? You've also not been sleeping very great. Maybe that's lending itself to it.
This week I've had a bad couple of nights sleep.
You had like two nights back to back where you didn't sleep.
Just a lot of tossing and turning. And
do you think this is the whole start of like preparing you for not, you know, sleeping once the baby's born and all that?
I don't know. Because
I've read about that quite a bit, actually.
Have you?
Yeah.
I know that it's a common theme in the third trimester to not sleep good, to lose sleep. So maybe it is. I'm hoping that that changes.
Right.
But I've noticed that the further I get in my pregnancy, the less amount of hours I get per night. Like, I'm staying up way later than you. Have you noticed that? But yet I'm still getting up about the same time you are. Whether I'm working or watching TV or whatever it is that I'm doing.
Yeah, I guess you are. You also have a tendency to kind of fall asleep, though. Like, earlier on the couch.
That's not an everyday thing, though.
No, it's not.
And when I fall asleep for like 20 minutes and then I'm done. I'm up and I'm like, I kind of get my second wind.
Yeah.
I don't like fall asleep and then go upstairs and go straight to bed. I wish I did do that. Maybe that would make for a better night's sleep if I could do that.
Do you know what would be best?
It's like I get a power nap and I'm ready to go.
You know what would be best, though, is if we don't have a TV in our bedroom.
I know.
And you don't allow your laptop in our bedroom.
I know.
That would be the healthiest situation.
But then how are we going to watch our shows?
I know. Well, that's the thing.
It's like our special time together, especially as you're going back to work.
That's the thing. I mean, you got to... But I've heard that before. I've heard that you're not supposed to even have a TV, that when you go to your bedroom is for sleeping.
And sleeping only. You're not supposed to take your phone.
Maybe not quite just for sleeping.
But you're not supposed to take your phone either in there.
Right. You know what? And that always, my mom has always done that. My mom and Val, and I never understood it, but honestly, maybe that's a healthy thing. My mom seems to always...
I know, but then when there's an emergency in the middle of the night...
Yeah, well, technically...
We have a house phone, but like they don't. And I remember trying to get a hold of them in the middle of the night one time and we couldn't.
Yeah, they don't now. But maybe she's on to something. She always used to leave it in the kitchen on the charger. And I was like, Mom, what are you doing?
Does she still do that? I mean, I turn mine on silent all night. So what's the difference?
I don't know if she does or not. You turn yours on like complete silent? Yeah. I barely ever do. It's always on buzz.
I know, and I get mad at you for it.
Well, again, what if someone really needs to reach you?
But we do have a house phone, and the people who need to reach us in the middle of the night have the house number.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
I always turn my phone on silent because everybody's on the East Coast in our family and in our life, and that way they can text me whenever they want to, and they don't have to worry about waking me up.
Yeah. Yeah.
Also, East Coast is when my work gets started.
Right.
Hours.
Yeah, and you start dinging.
When I wake up in the morning, and I get up usually between 8 and 9, I've already got like, 40-something emails usually? Can you imagine if I left my phone on?
Yeah, that would be crazy.
It's not worth it.
No, but you could turn it on buzz.
That would wake me up.
Oh, because it would still buzz, I guess, when you get an email.
Yeah.
You could turn off, never mind.
I'd just rather have it on silent.
Anyway, well, hey, let's keep on the track of like kind of symptom stuff here. So something you wrote that I thought was interesting is we talked about that you put this soap.
Yeah.
Under your bed to like try to, it was like a wives' tale to cure
now
leg cramps.
We're a good solid couple weeks in and I have not had a leg cramp.
Leg cramps.
Isn't that insane?
This stupid hotel soap is working.
Maybe it's a combination of that and the magnesium every night, because I take magnesium every night at bedtime.
Maybe, but you've been taking that.
Yeah, but I'm saying maybe it's the combination of the two. Maybe that's my lucky...
I think it's more fun to think it's the hotel voodoo magic soap under your sheet that's
working. Well, as of right now... I've got a Dove bar in there because...
A Dove bar? That's huge.
Well, it's like a half-used one that was dry that I put in there because the hotel one, I don't know what happened to it, like somewhere in between changing our sheets, it ended up somewhere lost, so now I'm to a Dove bar.
Do you think it slipped up your butt?
Through a sheet?
I don't know. That's why I'm asking.
Highly doubtful.
I don't know. You might want to check.
Pretty sure I would have already noticed it up there.
Okay.
Just saying.
Right.
Just saying.
Your left breast leaked a big spot at night on your nightgown.
Yes. That's, you can tell he's reading notes here, y'all. Because he wasn't awake to witness this, but I was sitting there watching TV and I noticed that something felt cold against my left nipple. And I looked down, I had this wet spot on my nightgown and I had leaked. And so...
You got that leaky boob syndrome from a couple weeks ago. LBS.
I took a picture of it and then I showed it to you in the morning because you were asleep. But I feel like I feel that sensation pretty often where it's something cold against a nipple, but I never actually see anything. But then I showed you my bra the other day. Like when you look closely to my bra in the light, there's all kinds of like markings of like yellow. So obviously colostrum is coming out.
Yeah, I think I would equate it to like sweat in a way.
Kind of.
You know, where like sometimes you have like a light sweat and if you're in some sort of a drafty area, you can really feel it.
But it's not a whole blocking lot. It, you know? So I think it's just the sensation of it leaking and then being pressed up against my skin.
Maybe it is.
Yeah.
But that's, you know what? I take that as a great sign. I mean, that means like maybe, you know, like things are working.
Good supply.
Yeah. Maybe things are working the way it's supposed to.
Did you know that the colostrum that comes out at first, you know, we've talked about this, you and I, you know what colostrum is. And for those of you who don't, when you give birth, you don't actually have milk that comes down. You have this substance called colostrum and it's like a yellowy, like sticky substance, I think, that comes out. Is it the first 24 hours? 24 to 48 hours, and then your milk supply comes in?
I think 48 hours, maybe.
So it's the most important substance that a baby can get after delivery. Like, from what I've been told, nurses ask mothers to please nurse the baby, the colostrum, even if they're not going to breastfeed, because it's got every single vitamin that baby needs after birth. Because apparently there's something in the colostrum that makes the baby have its first bowel movement after birth. Like it's what gets things moving for the baby and its digestive system. Isn't that interesting?
That's wild. This is kind of gross to say, but do you think that they would ever come up with a synthetic colostrum for like just adults?
Doubtful.
But for real.
Think
about it. If you're working out at the gym and you're taking protein and all stuff, why wouldn't you just take, you know, a little scoop of colostrum?
That's a good question.
Keeps you regular, gives you all the vitamins you need.
Yeah, but when you're on protein, you have protein farts anyway. So, like, you're pretty regular. That's, like, a widely known thing. I've always heard that people who take protein have terrible gas and have crazy bowel movements.
I've been taking a lot of protein in the last couple of months. I'm actually pretty good. Maybe it's, like...
I don't feel like you're taking protein at all.
Basically, every time I come home from the gym, I have a protein shake.
I guess so, but thinking of my dad, like he would, like your protein shakes are so small compared to the stuff he used to take.
Really?
And then he'd put the raw eggs in them and stuff.
Okay, that's old school wacky stuff.
It's gross. But wait a
minute.
You
ever heard of salmonella?
Oh, jeez. Well, he can't eat eggs anymore after doing that so many times.
Well, that's right, because it's disgusting.
He would drink the raw eggs and he'd vomit every time and he'd still keep doing it.
What good is that if you vomit as soon as you eat it?
You got to consider the source here. You got to.
Oh, my gosh.
But listen, let's go back to the colostrum for 1 second. Did you know that when a baby, its first poop is not actually poop? It's got a specific, like, textbook name for it?
Yeah.
It starts with an M. What is this? Merconium or something like that?
Like cubic zirconia or something.
No, that's definitely not it. Oh. But it starts with an M, and it's like a black tarry substance. And so are you going to change that first diaper?
No, honestly, probably the nurse will, because we'll still be in the hospital.
I think that that's going to fall on our shoulders.
Is it?
I think so. So.
I don't know. Maybe I'll let you have the honors on the first one.
I think that you're going to get the honors, because really? I'm going to be home changing a lot of diapers while you're at work.
This is true. We'll see.
Although you are under the impression that me and little Miss will be down and set with you all the time.
I'm wondering. Well, we did want to talk about that. I mean, we've kind of been discussing this thing about hiring a doula.
Yeah.
Because I am going back to Timeless next week. And
yeah.
I know you've got a lot of anxiety about that.
Oh, yeah.
But several people have told me that we should hire a night nurse, which I know we've talked about on here.
Mm-hmm.
But specifically, you're talking about a doula now at the hospital.
Yeah.
Which is just like a coach to get you through the birth, I guess, because what, you're afraid that I'm not going to be there possibly?
I mean, what happens if I go into labor and you're in the middle of like this huge fight scene and they're like, we can't break this scene. This costs us thousands of dollars or millions or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. And then I'm like sitting at the hospital, like, I don't have anybody here with me. I have nobody to coach me through my breathing. I have nobody to like rub my back, nothing. What do I do? And my mom gets on the first flight, but she's got a 5.5 hour flight.
Right, right.
What do I do?
Yeah, I mean, look, the thing, I will be coming over as soon as I possibly can. We know you're not gonna give birth right away. We know that. But you're just talking about being at the hospital by yourself and like in the beginning of labor.
That's like scary.
Yeah, no, I get it.
It's a scary feeling. It's the first time I've done this. You know, it's, there's gonna be decisions and like things that are gonna be happening, and you're supposed to be my partner in all this, that mm-hmm. knows my birth plan and what's okay and what's not okay and what we've lined up for each other. And then mm-hmm. if you're not there to enforce that when I'm like not even in my, I mean, who's to say that I'm gonna be capable of carrying a conversation if I'm in a lot of pain or something, you know?
So is this somebody that you just look for that is a professional doula to hire?
Yeah.
Or okay.
Yeah.
Okay. It's not like a family member that you...
No, this is somebody who's trained. I mean, this yeah. is what they do.
Right, right, right. Hmm.
It's a very common thing out here in yeah. LA.
Yeah.
And I've been told 50-50, you know? Like, I've had girlfriends who have said having the doula is what changed their experience for them, and they highly recommend it. Mm-hmm. And then we have a friend whose wife hired one because she was in the same boat. Her husband was filming. And it turned out that he was able to be there, and
they didn't even
it was a waste
him.
Of money. They paid her for her services, and she didn't even come, I don't think.
Hmm.
Or she did come, but they sent her home, something.
Well, so they paid her for services of like all the prior times of meeting and talking and all that kind of stuff, right? I mean, that's what you're talking about?
I don't really know how it worked, but she said right. it was a total waste of money. That's what she told me.
Yeah.
So I don't know. And not only money, but time.
Right, yeah.
I don't have a whole lot of extra spare time.
Although
myself,
if you're gonna like talk to a doula, and maybe if it would help your fears and your anxieties just to know that someone is there, will be there, and knows you and knows your birth plan and knows, you know, what you're gonna go through and what you want the experience to be like, maybe just the anxiety of knowing that's in place. I'm sorry, like maybe just the idea of knowing that's in place will help the anxiety of it all. Not like stressing about, oh my gosh, what's going to happen?
Yeah, I don't.
And that way it's kind of like just a safeguard, like an insurance.
Perhaps. But
I mean, I have no idea what kind of money we're talking about here.
If you go with a birthing suite at the hospital, a doula yeah. comes with it.
But how is that possible when, I mean, you meet the doula, you just meet that person right when you go to the hospital?
No, they probably connect you beforehand because you make a reservation for the birthing suite.
Wouldn't you rather have...
And also a lactation nurse comes with that as well.
Yeah. Wouldn't you rather have a doula that you know and has already like...
I think you probably establish that relationship because you're making a reservation for that birthing suite.
Right,
I'm assuming.
Hmm.
I mean, we'll find all of this out when we do the hospital tour.
Right, but not until late December.
Yeah. That's true.
So.
And I got to say, everybody I've talked to about the birthing suite say that it was worth every penny, so.
Oh,
I know.
I don't know about all that.
That's what everybody says.
Well, okay. Since we're kind of talking about, we did schedule the private childbirth classes, by
Finally.
The way.
Yeah, we got that on the books, but again, not till December.
Yeah.
And I think that we don't even start it until, I don't remember, but we scheduled it for, it's three separate days at 3 hours each one, each class. And it's just you and I and this birthing coach. And it's a childbirth. It's not a Lamaze class. It's childbirth. So I don't really know what's going to go into this other than she's going to tell us realistically what to expect. And I think that she might coach us a little bit on breastfeeding and like after birth care and stuff like that. But... yeah, we're going to start that in December.
Hmm. Okay. All right. Speaking of childbirth classes, Melissa, who you guys know, she was at their childbirth classes at the hospital, and she fell and tripped at lunch. And so she had to be admitted to the hospital when she went back up there and missed the rest of her childbirth classes because she was in there. They wanted to monitor her.
They wanted to do a fetal monitor.
Yeah, after she took a fall, scraped her knees up and everything. So
sprained her knees up pretty good.
Yeah, she did, man. And I guess
she didn't have any contractions or anything like that.
No. They were just there. I guess they were very, very diligent about making sure everything was okay. They monitored her for hours.
Do you think
hours.
It was because it was like on hospital property?
Maybe. They're probably being extra careful.
Yeah.
She tripped or something over a crack in the sidewalk or some kind of weird
She landed
thing.
On her knees and her palms.
Yeah.
Poor thing. So she didn't even hit her stomach or anything.
No, but they were just scared of the jarring sensation.
Yeah, they were afraid that it jarred the baby. But everything was totally fine.
She was good. Everything was good. So, another thing. Braxton Hicks. You have been having a lot of Braxton Hicks lately. Like, a lot.
Yeah.
Like, to the point where we're kind of thinking, like, okay, what's going on?
Mm-hmm.
It seems to be happening, like, every 2 hours.
But the thing is, like, I just don't know how to differentiate fully if it's her or if it's Braxton Hicks.
I feel like when your entire belly, top to bottom, left to right, is hard, it's Braxton Hicks.
Yeah, that's true. But like, for instance, my stomach will get hard all the way across, like rock hard, but then the very top of it will be soft. And I'm like, okay, but the whole, all the way across is hard. And I know that that's not her body. So does that qualify as the Braxton Hicks?
I don't know.
That's what I mean. It's so confusing.
But you told me that you can really tell because you feel like it just everything tenses and tightens and
I feel like there's some Braxton Hicks that I'm like, yeah, this is definitely that. And then there's other times where she's moving and like shifting her weight and I'm like, yeah, that's definitely her. But then like there's these other times that I'm just like, what? I don't know which one it is. Neither of them hurt. Neither of them are painful. It's just a hardening of the stomach. And like I've said before, like, just it feels like your wind's kind of being knocked out of you. But I'm feeling a lot of feet, actually, as I'm speaking right now. Feeling a lot of little tootsies up in my right ribs. And they're happening. Those piggies are going to town right now.
She dancing.
Yes. She's constantly.
Dancing a jig.
She gets the hiccups down in my pelvis, and then she gets her toe wiggles in my ribs. So I just take my hands on my ribs and I push her down all the time. Not hard, just a little tiny bit, just to like get her feet out of there.
Because get out of there, girl.
It doesn't tickle and it's not painful, but it is uncomfortable.
Right.
So, and I'm carrying so high. Oh my gosh, I'm carrying high.
Well, let's talk for a quick second here about gear. Baby gear. Yeah. Got to get geared up, man.
So along with getting furniture this week.
Yeah.
We got
the bassinet. The snoo.
We got our snoo, which is really exciting because that was like the number one bassinet on my list.
And this thing is like a piece of tech genius, supposedly.
I'm very excited about this to see how she responds to it.
So the inventor of the snoo is a doctor. His name is Dr. Harvey Karp.
Mm-hmm.
And this guy is like world renowned for his ideas on calming babies.
The five S's.
The five S's is like this whole thing. He's got several books on babies and toddlers even, I think, now.
It's called The Happiest Baby.
He actually personally sent us one of the snoo bassinets, which has like a whole built-in noise machine and like movements and all this crazy stuff. So we put that in the nursery. That's all ready to go. Of course, we're going to put that in our room when she's born. So we'll have it in there. But we actually got to talk to Dr. Harvey Karp on the phone and just chatted with him about the snoo and thanked him for sending the thing over and how we were excited to use it. And this guy's just so interesting and his theories and his ideas are so interesting. We'd love to have him on. And I think we're planning on doing it. So hopefully we can get a little bonus episode going here with Dr. Karp because he's got some really cool stuff to say. So hopefully we can get that going. We got this Up a Baby stroller.
Mm-hmm. The Vista, which we already had the car seat with the Mesa. So now we have two Mesas, one for my car and one for your truck.
Yeah.
And then now we have the Vista.
So, but and we also got the bassinet for this thing.
Well, that comes with it.
Oh, okay. It's all one thing.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. I put the bassinet on and the thing just kind of like it wiggles, like it rocks.
Didn't it do the same thing with the car seat? Didn't you say when you put the car seat on, it rocked a little bit?
Yeah.
I felt they both rocked a little
bit.
The
car seat on the stroller.
On the stroller, I mean.
Yeah. Yeah. Not in the car.
No, in the car, it's like rock solid.
But I don't know if you guys want to make a comment out there or comment somewhere. Is it supposed to wiggle? It feels like it's not on there 100%. Like,
well, I got on Instagram and asked a bunch of people.
Yeah.
And they all, for the most part, said that it was supposed to have some give and take.
A little bit of give.
Because that way, it was kind of like shocks on a car. Like when you're strolling down the street, it's got a little bit of movement there so that it doesn't jar the baby.
Okay. Well, that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. I had multiple parents tell me that.
Because I looked. And I mean, it's a simple little contraption. It goes down on two prongs and it clicks into the two prongs.
Yeah.
And it actually, I think it turns green and turns red.
Like that's in the car, I know. Does it do that on the stroller too?
I think when you're locked in there, it turns green. When you're not locked in, it turns red. And they're green, but it still wiggles. So I don't know. But I guess it's all right. We're still trying to figure out if we need to buy a refrigerator or a freezer.
A deep freeze?
Like a deep freeze, like a second thing.
Yeah.
I think we are going to get something.
To put in our garage.
Yeah. As like a second, because we had a second fridge at our other house. We used it a lot.
Yeah, we really did. So we loved having that thing.
We did.
Especially when we entertained.
But we're just trying to figure out, do we do a freezer? Like a little deep freeze chest? Or do we do a full-on refrigerator with a freezer in it? I saw something on like the bump or...
I feel like my mom has had both.
Really?
When I was growing up. I remember having a deep freeze and then I feel like she switched over to a refrigerator.
And obviously the reason for that, having a freezer is, you know, freezing breast milk and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
And trying
plus
to keep...
our freezer is tiny in our refrigerator, I feel like.
It kind of is. We've got one of those side-by-sides and it is a small...
It's like
kind of...
our freezer at our other house was much bigger, it felt like.
I don't know about that. I feel like the whole setup is about the same size.
We just have more drawers in the other freezer, I feel like.
Is that what it was?
I think so.
Hmm. Well, so some people have talked about this and whether you need it or you don't or whatever, but I don't know. We sort of need it just household anyway, maybe. So
I also got on Instagram and polled people on my Insta stories about that. Do you need a deep freeze? It was pretty much 50-50, I felt like. I feel like at the end, it ended up being no, you don't, more so.
You don't even need one, period?
But then I had so many people message me and say, and give me examples of why having an extra freezer just saved their lives. So, I don't know. I've always had two refrigerators, like growing up, and then we had two at our other house. So, I don't know. I just feel like they always come in handy. If you have the space, why not?
Well, because it burns energy, number one. I mean, I guess not that much, but...
I mean, but if you're using it and it's valid energy usage, I don't know.
Right.
It's not very green of me maybe to say, but you know what I'm trying... You know where I'm going with that.
Yeah, I guess so. So that was it for week 30, episode 24.
And I think when we check in with them next time, you will be back at Timeless and we will have Doctor News, right?
Doctor News?
Yeah, we have a doctor's appointment on Friday.
Right. Yeah, that should be the case. So join us next week for week 31 of the pregnancy.
And supposedly our last ultrasound of the pregnancy.
Well, no, okay, I don't think that's true. I think it's just the last one that I'm going to get to go to.
Well, when we checked out of the doctor's office last week, they said that this is your last scheduled ultrasound.
I thought you had to go to the doctor like every couple of weeks. Anyway, whatever. I guess we'll figure it out. All right. Well, hey, join us next week. Thanks for tuning in to Hello Bump. And we'll see you next week. Same baby time, same baby channel.
All right, guys. See you soon.